This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This year is part of the school committee meeting held on Tuesday, August 25, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirement of this pandemic period. Part 2, this segment covers the first discussion action item on athletics, including the vote to approve sports. The show notes include links to the agenda doc, the meeting packet, my notes taken via Twitter, and photos in the Google photo album that I had used for some of the tweets.
All right, moving on, Dr. Hearn, guest presentations.
So we have two guests with us tonight. There's no presentation, two guests with us tonight to support the first discussion action item. And it's related to athletics at Franklin High School. Tom Angelo, the high school athletic director, and Josh Hanna, the high school principal, are here to talk a bit about what the plans are for athletics among the MIAA, the state organization for athletics, as well as the Hockomock League, to which we belong, along with, I think, 9 other districts, or maybe 12 other districts, within the area. And so there's a proposal to you. And because the school committee voted to start in a predominantly remote environment, there is a need for the school committee to take a vote related to athletics this fall. And I'll let Tom talk a little bit about the conversation that's happening among the Hockomock athletic directors related to a modified season. So welcome, Tom and Josh. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sarah. Josh, shall I proceed?
Yes, please, Tom. Go right ahead. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Well, in a nutshell, the MIAA, DESE, and EEA released guidelines last week that were ratified by the MIAA last week. And in the guidelines, they basically took a look at all of our athletic programs and then categorized them into low risk, moderate risk, and high risk. Then they looked at the season and they divided the season into 4. So we have the fall season, the winter season, a new floating season, also known as the wedge season, and the spring season. So immediately grouping and looking at the, where the risks lie in each sport, our fall programs, our fall athletic programs include football, competitive cheerleading, unified basketball, soccer, field hockey, volleyball, cross country, and golf. So they immediately took football, competitive cheer, and unified basketball and moved those 3 sports to the floating season. They took a look at soccer, field hockey, volleyball, and felt that those sports could be played as moderate risk sports. And then cross country and field hockey, cross country and golf would definitely be played because they were considered low risk sports. So the Hockomock athletic directors, we meet just about every day, and we got together and we said, look, if we understand football, cheer, unified basketball, we can't run those sports, but volleyball is very problematic for us because 8 of the 12 teams in the Hockomock do not have access to their gyms. So the athletic directors voted, and we made the recommendation to the principals to move volleyball to that floating season as well. So that's kind of where we are with all this. So we will be offering soccer, field hockey, cross country, and golf. The rule modifications will be coming out September 1st. So although we are playing those sports are going to look very different, and they will play differently than they have in the past, all based on rules that will keep our students at a lower risk. And that's kind of where we are. Josh, would you like to add to that?
Sure. Thanks, Tom. The principals of the Hockomock will be meeting later on this Thursday at 11 o'clock to review the proposal from the athletic directors. And with the support of the school committees, agreement to allow for us to participate in MIAA interscholastic athletics, although we are starting predominantly remote, we would be willing to entertain that. And I think one thing I'd like to say regarding this choice, and I think it may be confusing to some to say, how could we be starting school remote, but athletics, you know, happening live? And I understand that question. I do think there are a few differences that are important to bring up as we take this into consideration. One is that these sports will be occurring outside, and two is that they will be occurring in relatively small number, and three is that there are adjustments to the sport to secure safety. So for an example, with the game of soccer, there won't be throw-ins, corner kicks, or heading the ball to avoid body touches to the ball. So the games are going to be different, but I think it's a step in a direction of getting ourselves back to school in a manner that is relatively safe. I know in my time in the office over the course of July and August, I'd come out and get to the car and I'd see baseball games occurring on the fields behind the school. And so our community has already been participating in outdoor type activities, practicing social distancing, practicing the kind of guidance that the sport institutes put together. And we feel as though it might be an opportunity for us to investigate into what other things can we do to bring our students back in a manner that is safe. But again, a lot has gone into the understanding of the importance of athletics, and we're trying to move forward in what feels like a safe and reasonable manner.
Do we see? I'm just going to go in order to see if anyone has any questions, comments. I'm going to go backwards. We'll start with Elise. Any comments, questions, Elise?
Not on this one, Anne, no.
Okay, thanks, Elise. Denise?
No.
You okay?
Yep.
Mary Jane Schofield?
Oh, you couldn't get to me soon enough. the first thing, I know that, you know, soccer is now considered a moderate risk sport, but when the guidance, the directives came out from the governor, initially, soccer was included as a high risk. And I do know that it was changed due to, you know, a major lobbying effort by the soccer people in the state. And then very quietly, soccer all of a sudden was in the moderate risk category. I find it hard to believe that soccer is not considered a contact sport. If you've seen boys varsity teams play, or even the girls, it's a contact sport. There are no two ways about it. You know, and you mentioned the three rule changes, off the top of your head, Josh, that we know are coming down the pike. Are there others? As far as masks being worn by all the players on the field, but if they're not, if they're at least 6 feet from, one of their opponents or anybody else, they don't have to have the mask on. And if they're involved in a run down the field, what are they calling it, an aerobic exercise, that they are able to remove the mask at that point. I'm having a really hard time understanding how the referees in the high school system are going to monitor this. I know that many of the high school referees are not USSF refs. They have a completely different understanding of the game. High school is definitely, they've got their quirky little rules. Making it different, making it a little bit harder for some people to go to a game and say, what are they doing? Why are they allowing this? those aren't real soccer rules. I'm just wondering if you can comment on that.
Yes, I would be happy to comment on that. I would caution all of us not to get too in depth with the rules, because the rules have not yet come out. And I believe when soccer was first put in the high-risk category, I believe those who advocated for soccer explained that there would be certain rule modifications that would then put it into the moderate risk category. And I know, and I just said not getting into the rules, but I know one of the rules is no contact, no tackling below the waist. So there has to be separation between the players. And Josh mentioned about the heading and the no corner kicks and no heading and no throw-ins and so on. There are people who just feel like, who feel that this is not soccer. Why are we even doing it? But we feel very strongly, and the student athletes and their parents feel very strongly, that we need to get out there, and these kids need their teammates, and I tell you, we will be so diligent with following the protocols, the safety protocols, and we plan on educating our coaches and our student athletes and their parents to make sure all the proper protocols are followed so they can get out there and play. We just feel the social emotional aspect of being on a team and being with your teammates is so important, and our coaches are willing to do whatever it takes, follow every rule, every protocol, so this can happen.
I thank you for that, Tom. I find it hard to believe. We're being asked as a school committee to make sure that, you know, when kids go back to school, however remote, hybrid, in person, that, you know, we're being asked to ensure their and the teachers, safety, and, you know, make sure that their health is protected. And I'm just having a real hard time with the soccer. And I'm not convinced.
I can certainly understand your concern. A quick story. I coached Babe Ruth baseball this summer. We were the only team to wear the masks, to that adhere to all the rules, the proper rules, staying away from the dugouts, and so on and so on. And I was adamant about it. And parents even questioned me, why are we doing this when the other teams are not? And I said, because this is safe. And I'm protecting myself, and I'm protecting your children. And our coaches will do everything by the book. We have such an outstanding group of coaches. The reputation of Franklin Athletics speaks for itself. And I'm so proud of our coaches, and I know that they will follow the rules to the T. But I certainly understand your concern.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Tom. I love soccer. I've been doing it for many, many years. Yeah. I do have some other questions. First, actually, this is for the superintendent, if I may. That in your memo that accompanied this report, it said that the cost of transportation may need to be shared between the district and families. I understand, this information is all brand new, or a couple days old anyways. Parents will be expected to partially fund the buses to and from, the away games. Is that what that means?
No, it's not related to the funding or the cost of transportation, but it's in reference to a few details that still need to be worked out under the unusual circumstances we find ourselves in. One is a bit of a worry on the part of the athletic directors with respect to the availability of transportation, given the reduced capacity of buses during the school week to transport students to and from school is going to put a strain on the transportation system. The other piece is the cost of transportation for the athletic teams with the social distancing expectations and the equipment. And so one of the ideas that's being discussed is having families transport students potentially to away games. That is kind of preliminary, but was an idea that I wanted to put on the radar screen for the school committee to know is a possibility in terms of participation, given how the athletic directors may end up scheduling the competitions, as well as the practicality of being able to find buses that can transport the students.
Okay, and just to follow up on that, if parents are going to be transporting the players to the away venues, you've run this by the lawyers, right? Okay. And this is all okay? It's not like they're, you know, transporting children other than their own. It would only be their students.
We would have to make some adjustments to our expectations and practices based on how we typically have students transported, which is through the buses, and mm-hmm. run it through the attorneys if that's what the suggestion is coming out of the athletic director's scheduling meetings.
Okay. And one last question. The athletic directors, Tom, have you been in touch with the Franklin Board of Health and, you know, asking for their blessing of, you know, whatever plan you're proposing?
I have not.
Do you plan to?
As of right now, certainly.
And I thank you for that. No, it's just that the boards of health, I know
sure.
In the youth soccer programs, they're having an awful lot to say. Here we are right in town. Why on earth wouldn't they, you know, be contacted and asked if they could confirm that, yes, indeed, you're doing everything right? Okay.
Yes.
I think I'm done.
Can I just jump
sure.
in
ahead,
for 1 second, because I want to clarify
sure.
the transportation piece. One of the things that we've had a conversation about, Josh, Tom and I, is not having students drive themselves to games and not putting the students in that position of doing that. So that is absolutely something that we want to avoid. And Kathy Liberty in the Department of Health here in Franklin has been a wonderful partner. So we'll be sure that anything passes muster with her.
Yeah. Oh, I came up with something.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Yeah, and then I'll get to Judy.
I just wanted to echo what MJ stated as some concerns, just because as I was reading it, you know, the sports guidance that they released in regards to the moderate risk sports. I know MJ, she's a soccer person. I'm from a field hockey family. So I'm reading these, you know, modify play and practice as much as possible to keep players 6 feet apart. Dugouts, benches, and bleachers are allowed to open only if 6 feet of distance can be maintained. Eliminate deliberate and intermittent contact. I'm not sure what soccer and field hockey are going to look like if they have to maintain 6 feet of space during the games. I'm just a little concerned because they are kids. I mean, even professionals, if you told them, you know, you couldn't check into the glass at a hockey game, they're still going to end up checking someone into the glass at a hockey game. I think it's a valid concern. I know that you said that, you know, we're going to keep our kids safe and you're going to do your best. Just as MJ said, we're just being asked to keep our kids safe. So And then one other thing I noticed in the memo from you, Dr. Hearn, I think it's important. Could you speak about the fees?
In terms of the athletic fees? Yes. So in terms of the athletic fees, we do charge a fee for participation. It does not cover the entire cost of what an athletic season goes for. You know, there is about a third of the athletic, or the fees that we collect cover about a third of the overall athletic department budget. We potentially, we haven't made, final decisions in the, it rests with the school committee in terms of setting the fees, but, we will still need to pay coaches the stipends. Mm-hmm. There still will be transportation costs, officials, potentially unanticipated costs as well. So I think while we have it on our radar screen to examine the fees, we would plan to collect the typical user fee going into the season.
And I'm sure that the fees would also cover any kind of COVID-related expenses.
Right, right. There may be additional expenses, operating expenses.
Great. Thanks, sir.
Yep. Judy, do you have anything, comments, questions?
All set. Thank you.
All set. Thanks. Tim?
I do. I'd like to comment on a few things, actually, and then kind of preface it just so you know where I'm coming from. I would advocate for what the superintendent is recommending here, and for these reasons. And I also want to kind of recognize the points that MJ and Denise brought up. So we're in a remote setting right now, starting in a remote setting. If we had voted previously to go hybrid, this wouldn't even be a vote on the table right now. It's just sports would be automatic for those schools that are going hybrid or it full in person. And so I'm assuming that at whatever point we do go hybrid, if we were to not allow for sports right now, like immediately at the point where we go hybrid, that can just get flipped automatically just based on the way the state is approaching this question to school committees right now. So that's one point. Another point though, I think like the fact that we're remote puts us in a safer position to do this than if we were actually full in person or if we were hybrid. And the reason for that is that if an outbreak happened with one of the sports teams, they're not bringing it back to school. And that's, in my mind, a meaningful consideration that actually, puts our district compared to some of the districts that are going hybrid from the start. The last point I want to make, and I want to make sure that I it's probably going to come across in a weird way. So I don't want to make it sound like, I think sports teams should be like the guinea pigs and kids that are doing sports should be guinea pigs. But what Josh had said about, this could potentially be a step towards getting back to school. I think that should be something that we consider here. In that we're going to be watching as school committee members and as a community and as parents if the guidelines are being followed. And so the things, and here's where I want to recognize what MJ and Denise said, the things that you guys said about soccer, field hockey, and like how can you possibly do these activities and follow these new guidelines that are going to be in place? That same comment has been made about schools as well, right? Like, how can you possibly run a kindergarten program when you have to keep kids 6 feet apart? Or how are you going to run an elementary program when kids can't collaborate together? So it's like these guidelines that are going to exist for school. We've got different guidelines for sports, but kind of the premise is the same. It's like, can the community and these activities, can people follow the guidelines? That's a concern that teachers have. That's a concern that a lot of parents have. A lot of people feel like if guidelines are followed, it can be safe. So I think if sports happen, and we can observe if we're able to follow the guidelines properly, and it's turns out to be safe, then that's a good piece of data that we can look at, and teachers can look at, and parents can look at, and say, hey, you know, maybe we can get back to school in a safe manner, right? We ran soccer and there were no issues. So again, I know this is kind of like coming across probably as me saying like, hey, you know, let's use the sports kids as guinea pigs. And I don't mean that at all, because I think this is a situation where, you know, parents are conferring with their coaches and their kids, and they're making some sort of, they want to make some sort of family decision about what they feel is safe or what risks they're willing to take. And if they feel that it can be safe if they follow the guidelines, to me, that seems like an interesting opportunity for us to look at and say, okay, this is it's a smaller scale by far with sports, a smaller scale proxy for, can we follow guidelines? And if we do follow guidelines, can we keep people safe? So that's it. I apologize if I'm coming across as sounding like, you know, I want to use sports kids as guinea pigs, because I don't mean to do that at all.
I don't think you did.
Okay. I was just going to say that I know that sports are such an integral part of these kids' lives, and they're desperate to play. You know, it's sort of that whole social, emotional, you know, outdoor, being outdoors, fresh air, socializing, all these things that are so important. And just watching sort of how the rec department did it this summer and how safe they were. And these kids were out all summer long playing sports, and they did it so carefully. And there have been no incidents at all. And the camps that have been run over the summer in our area have been so successful. So I would support this. And just knowing how Tom operates as an athletic director and the reputation that he has when he says his word is that he's going to be put the safety of these kids first and foremost, then that, you know, that's how he operates, and having known and worked with him for so long, that's what I know. So I know that will be a high priority, and we want kids to get back. And as Tim said, this is the first step, sort of getting them back to that normalcy that they need, and they're craving it. So I have faith that we'll do it well, and that we will follow the guidelines, and that's all I have to say. So I don't know if anyone else, didn't want to cut off any school committee members or... No. Okay.
Well,
I didn't know if, is this point, I was going to see if there might be any public comment at this time before we take a vote on this.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
There's a...
And I'm just going to, just before we do any public comments, just remind people about the policy. Again, we're not going to engage in, we're just going to sort of, if you have like to make a statement, we're going to ask if you could limit it. I actually, not to be rude, just to sort of keep it to 3 minutes, no more than 3 minutes. And if a comment has already been said, just in the interest of time, we want to make sure that anyone who wants to say anything has a chance, but not to be repetitive. So I'm going to ask Denise to help me with this, because you do a better job at seeing.
Will Tracy has his hand raised.
Okay. Mr. Tracy?
Hi, Will.
Go ahead.
I'm Will Tracy. I live at 6 Hancock Road. I'm a junior at Franklin High School, and I'm a member of the football and basketball teams. I'd like to start by thanking Dr. Ahern, Mr. Hanna, and Mr. Angelo for advocating for us student athletes to play this fall. As we all know, 2020 has been a difficult year for everyone, especially kids of my age. There are so many once-in-a-lifetime experiences that come with high school that have been negatively affected by this pandemic, one of them being sports. And sports play an important role in many of our lives. I feel like everyone understands that there are a lot of benefits that come from sports related to both mental and physical well-being. But for me, however, the reason why sports is so important is because of the relationships I've built with my coaches and my teammates throughout the years. And I've made some of my best friends and had so many great memories playing sports. Now, when the announcement was made about school being virtual to start the year, I think I speak for most kids when I say that we were extremely disappointed, and we desperately want to get back to school and back to some kind of routine. And 2020 has been a really tough year so far. A vote to allow the return of high school sports would just be some much needed good news for us student athletes. And I just ask that consider how big of a role that sports play in a student athlete's life, and please vote to allow us to return to sports and resume doing what we love. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Will.
All right, next I see a familiar name, Gigi Zub.
Oh, Gigi. Go ahead, Gigi.
Thanks, had to turn off mute. Hi, everybody. Gigi Zub, 356 King Street, and former school committee member. First, thank you all for your hard work and effort. I can't even imagine at this time. I think I've said multiple times you couldn't pay me enough. just amazing. So keep doing the good work. I want to speak from being a mom of a soccer player. And MJ, I hear what you're saying, but my daughter and I are sitting here and couldn't wait to say something. So she has been playing soccer. Her sports team, her club team has been practicing using all the guidelines that are out there, and in fact played a game in the summer league this past weekend. And she's played some scrimmages in her club as well. I'm not going to tell you, MJ, it's perfect. I'm not going to tell you every kid follows every rule. I won't even tell you every adult follows every rule. They are working really hard to follow those rules, do the right thing, adjust to new rules. As you can imagine, if you've played soccer, all of a sudden not being able to do a throw-in or a corner kick, you can't head, having that mask with you to put on if you need be. It has been really interesting to see them adjust, but they're resilient. And being able to be with a small group of people, their friends, as that young man said, is really important. It's one bit of normal in a very unnormal time. And I would say, having worked with Tom before, he is a man of his word, and he will do everything he can to make sure we're as safe as possible. And if we're not, then we won't play. We'll stop, right? I do think there is a way of acceptable risk. And I think if we're following those rules, we're thinking about how many people can come watch, which as a parent, I really want to go watch, right? As she is a freshman and I want to see her play, but I want us to see her do it safely. And I don't want to take any more time. I really implore you guys all to think about this as an opportunity to try in a small way, to really see if we can follow these rules and start to do some things a little bit normal. I think it means a lot to these kids and their social emotional learning. And I'll have another kid who gets to go to the wedge season, Tom. I'm going to start calling it that, from a competitive cheer. So she doesn't even get to until winter. And we're not making the cheerleaders go out and cheer on the sidelines in February, are we? That's going to be a little cold. but seriously, I think whatever we can do to help them and give them a little bit, and yet pull it back if it's not working, right? Let's be safe, absolutely, but let's balance. Thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Gigi. You stayed under 3 minutes. Good work.
I'm going to say Declan W. because I'm not going to butcher that last name.
Declan, go ahead.
Hi. My name is Declan Walmsley. I'm going to my senior year, and I'm a captain of the cross-country team and a varsity basketball player. I just want to say thank you to Dr. Hearn, Mr. Angelo, and Mr. Hanna for all the work you've done this summer to get us ready for the fall. I'm here to ask the school committee to please accept the recommendation to return to sports. My teammates and I are all looking forward to returning. We've worked really hard all summer to prepare, even through uncertainty. This past 6 months have been really hard on us not being able to participate in sports we love. We know the season will look very different in order to meet the safety guidelines, but we are grateful to have the opportunity to participate. I want to thank everyone who's made it possible for us to compete safely and who recognizes how important participating for Franklin High School is to us. And I hope it's not just sports, but other clubs and activities that can get underway, because we all need that connection with our teammates and friends. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sydney Hawkins.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I'm going to be a senior, and I'm a captain for cross country, winter track, and lacrosse. And I just want to say, I remember what it was like being a freshman going into the high school and how nervous I was. And I know it's probably much harder for freshmen this year who are not just going to have to adjust to high school, but learning online. And the best thing for me was having a fall sport. And cross country has been a way for me to relieve stress after school. And I was able to talk to upperclassmen who have already been through what I was going through and knew how to help me. And I think that's going to be something that is going to be so important for freshmen this year and everyone, for our physical and emotional health, to be able to run after school and talk to teammates and classmates. So I'd hope for everyone to vote to do fall sports. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else?
Denise Lewandowski.
Denise?
Sorry, I'm trying. Thank you. I actually think Declan and Sydney said it very well. I mean, sports are just so important to everything from a mental health perspective. And I just want to say that I think it was Gigi, perhaps, maybe that said it. My kids have been playing sports within guidelines all summer long, from a field hockey perspective, from a golf perspective, not that this sports counts, from a Franklin High School perspective, but also equestrian riding. And I think there is just a big part of what keeps these kids healthy. They've been isolated for so long. And I think some sort of normalcy and some sort of glimmer of hope that, you know, school committee, you may not think it's that important of a deal, but it really is to these kids, to staying connected to their community. So I just beg, you know, is the only word I can think of right now, is to allow these kids to have at least something that gives them the sense of the community that they're working in and with and can give back to, from freshmen all the way through, you know, through the senior class. So anyways, I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Anyone else?
Vierna O'Brien. I'm so sorry if I misspoke.
That's quite all right. It's Verna, but I will go by Vierna as well. Thank you. I'm at 21 Old Grove Street, and we've been talking a lot about the class of 2021, which is quickly on track to becoming what we've been calling the lost class. I could spend time talking about statistics and how the numbers are in the students' favor, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm choosing to focus on their overall well-being. A lot of attention has been bestowed on the class of 2020 and what they've missed, but very little attention has been given to the class of 2021. This class has watched their 2020 friends lose out on many rites of passage toward the end of their senior year. They've had their junior prom canceled. They've had their most important academic year truncated during the most critical term of learning and time to optimize their grades and GPA. The shift to pass-fail in the spring has left them at a certain competitive disadvantage relative to private and competitive public schools, who've stuck with more rigorous curriculums and learning protocols and grading systems. This class has invested thousands of dollars and many, many hours of grueling SAT prep, only to have the rug pulled out from under them. Some of these kids haven't even had the opportunity to take the SATs yet. The class has seen favorite teachers and guidance counselors get laid off, leaving them disillusioned and scrambling for critical letters of recommendation for college applications, and reduced help with the college admissions process. They've had teachers say no to helping them on college essays because of the shutdown, forcing them to rely on outside resources. They've lost out on job opportunities due to an economic freefall. They've seen riots and racial strife. They've been unable to tour college campuses, leaving them confounded about the most important decision they're going to make in their young lives. The class is grappling with the very real possibility that the one outlet that keeps them sane and unifies and energizes the community during a hugely divisive and tumultuous time, sports, may also be taken away. My son is a three-sport varsity athlete. He plays football, basketball, and lacrosse. He defines himself as an athlete. I don't know what he is if not an athlete. My daughter is a varsity cheerleader. We spend most of our family time attending games and cheer competitions. These kids, you know, the school spirit that revolves around sports is unrivaled in our state. These athletes are older brothers, neighbors, role models that the younger kids look up to. The energy at the games is palpable. It's not just about winning the contest. It's about community coming together to cheer these kids on, watching them battle from behind, overcome adversity, and step up to win big games and competitions elicits an indescribable feeling of pride and joy. Most of these kids will not go on to play college sports. Senior year is the end of their athletic career. Others are relying on their senior year for game footage to compile the highlight reel that can help them get into the school of their dreams. They've worked for a decade, grinded season in and season out, sat patiently on the sidelines waiting for their moment to shine, their moment that culminates in senior year. Taking this away from our student athletes is like stripping them of a huge part of their identity, robbing them of lifelong memories and leaving them without closure on a very important chapter of their lives. Years down the road, when this class returns over Thanksgiving weekend and congregates to reminisce about their senior year highlights, their memories will be a series of unanswered questions and empty spaces. We know that athletics keep kids focused and fit. They have proven to prime the brain for learning. Sports are a stress reliever. They teach leadership. They teach tenacity and grit. Coaches are like secondary parents that the kids don't want to disappoint, and they help keep kids in line. Without athletics, kids will find trouble and engage in risky behaviors because they will look to self-soothe.
Please, I want to cut you off, but we're kind of way over time. So can you just kind of conclude your thought? Just so I want to make sure we have room time for everybody else. So I don't want to cut you off. Just finish your thought there, okay?
Yep. Please don't let this class of 2021 become the lost class. A lot of airtime has been given to social emotional impact. You can be sure that there will be irreversible detrimental effect on their social emotional well-being. They need to be remembered for something other than missed opportunities. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
No. Okay. I don't see anyone.
Okay. Good. I think we're set to go, Dr. Hearn.
Okay. So then this is the first discussion action item on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank Josh and Tom for coming tonight and talking more about it. And I recommend the approval of Franklin High School sports teams participating in the MIAA seasons, starting with the fall season, although school is opening in a predominantly remote environment.
I would entertain a motion to recommend the approval of Franklin High School sports teams participating in MIAA seasons, although school is opening in a predominantly remote environment as detailed. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the roll call vote will come on the motion. And I guess I'll start with Tim.
Yes.
Okay. Judy?
Yes.
Mary Jane? Gofield?
You're muted.
Oh, you're muted, MJ.
Okay. This is just so hard. I know you're looking for a yes and no right off the bat, Ann. The students and the parents who, shared their thoughts with us. I totally agree with each and every one of them, but my gut is telling me no. We're being asked, quite simply, we're being asked to say yes or no to sports taking place. If we had more information about how the sports were going to be played, it would be far more helpful to me. At this point in time, my gut is telling me I cannot vote yes. So my vote is no. And okay. I apologize from the bottom of my heart to every athlete, present, past, and future in Franklin.
Thanks, MJ. Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
And Ann, yes. Okay. So that would become on the roll call vote. The motion carries 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One no and one not here. So motion carries.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.